I'm Ken Hemmings, and he is Chris Lang, and welcome to another of these regular property briefings. Again, a warm welcome to you, Chris.
As always, a pleasure, Ken.
I realise that we've been doing these podcasts for a while now, but I imagine there are a few myths surrounding commercial property which probably need debunking. What might some of those be?
Well, Ken, it's interesting that there are myths or misconceptions that both favourable and unfavourable as far as commercial property are concerned. I mean, most people think just finding a commercial property is simple. They haven't gone to the next stage of working out what you do when you find it, but their perception is that it's not that difficult to find and package up a commercial property if that's what they want to do. And, you know, they just think it's you go on the internet and that's something that you can just pick and choose the properties, and there's such a selection there that you'll certainly find one that suits your needs. Finding the property, interestingly, is only half the job. The other half involves properly assessing it, both physically and financially. And then, of course, you've got to package up the deal that works best for you, both on price, finance, settlement, all sorts of things. And I think that's where I sit down with my clients and explain to them the importance of having a top consulting team in the areas of property, legal, finance, construction, and so forth. And that team is worth its weight in gold. Yes, you'll have to retain them, in other words, pay fees, but the difficulties that they will get you out of when they arise and the opportunities that they will present that you are not even aware of will more than compensate you for any fees you pay to them. And you've got to understand they're experts. Now, unless you, as a buyer, and to a degree this applies to the residential, although people feel more confident with residential property because they grew up in it, even as, you know, in their early 20s or whatever, they may well have leased a flat or may have bought a home as they got older, may even have a beach house. So residential is something they're comfortable with, and therefore they don't feel they need to take advice. Commercial is a bit different. The rewards are far greater, but also some of the aspects of getting into commercial property are a little more complex. And that's why if you have this team of experts together, and when I'm working with my clients, I provide them with that team. It's a team I've built up over the last 15, 20 years, and some of them have changed over that time. But I have a team that I work closely with and who know what I expect from them in the service that they're prepared to deliver. And I'm able to negotiate for the clients far better fee structure because these consultants know when I come that they've got a live deal. They don't have to be out sourcing properties for themselves, whether it's legal or accounting or construction analysis. The deal's already done. They know that their services are going to be used on this particular transaction, and so therefore they're happy to shave their fees and make it very attractive for my clients, so that not only they get the best advice but they get the best fee structure as well. So it's important to understand that there is a bit of a learning curve, and if you want to go through that, I provide training and home study courses and so forth. But what I find interesting is where people start out initially to say, well, I want to learn all I can about commercial property, the more they learn, the more they realise what they don't actually know and how difficult it is to keep up to date. And really the training programs are to equip people and bring them all up to a common level of understanding and knowledge so that they can at least have sensible conversations with their consulting team and understand the language and the nuances and the implications of what's being said to them. So, and they can then ask cogent, probing questions of the consultants and extract from them the very best advice that is relevant to their particular situation. Now, you know, some people try and fudge it. Some people pretend they know more than they really know. And the problem with that is that if you give this false impression to a consultant that you already know this information, they will wrongly, because they assume you do know it, not necessarily cover certain aspects. And, you know, quite often I'll go through things with a client, they say, I know that's okay, that's fine. And I then question them and it becomes obvious that they don't know it, because it's not, any deal I put together is not what I think's a good deal. The client has to be happy as well. And it doesn't have to be a commercial reason why they're not happy. They just mightn't feel good about the property. And that's as important as anything else, because it's no good buying a property and the happiest day is the day you sell it, because you just feel uncomfortable all the way through. And so, as I said, the rewards are far greater with commercial than residential, but you do have to have an understanding going into the deal as to what makes a deal tick.
Also, I imagine many people feel that you need loads of cash before you can invest in commercial property.
Well, again, that's simply not true. Like the belief that it's easy to find and package up a property. Yes, look, sure, many commercial properties may sell for millions of dollars. However, you can also buy a well-leased strata title office suite for somewhere between $300,000 to $500,000, which is more or less the same price as you're going to be paying for an apartment. I mean, they're in that same ballpark. And yet the difference is that your net return for the office suite is going to be around 7 to 7.5% compared with a net return of about 3.5% for apartments. Now, sure, when you buy an apartment, you might get look, I've got a 5% return. Well, that's the gross rent. From that, you've got to pay your rates, your insurance, and property management, all those sort of items. So you don't know until the end of the year how much you've actually made out of the property. But might start over at a 5% gross yield, but it'll end up at about 3.5%, sometimes even closer to 3% as a net yield. And, you know, when you think about it, if you're getting a 7 to 7.5% net yield from a commercial property, so that at the end of every month, whatever you bank, you can spend, because a tenant pays the outgoing, I'll leave you to do the maths. It's a far better deal. It's almost twice the return that you're getting, and you don't need huge amount of cash, as the misconception will have you believe, to get into it. Now, I mean, you could even buy a small strata office for $100,000 to $120,000. I don't recommend that, because you're not necessarily going to get value for money, and your yield, because there's so many people can afford it, is going to be probably closer to 6.5%. But if you stick to start off with in the $300,000 to $500,000 price bracket, you can certainly buy something on a 3-year lease, as opposed to the shorter leases that you're more likely to get with residential. They're going to be 6, maybe 12 months if you're lucky. So, no, you don't need loads of cash. You can quite easily get your hat in the ring with commercial property for $500,000 or less. Same price as you'd pay for an apartment.
Even though traditional residential investors can actually afford commercial property, would they find the transition difficult?
Well, I think fundamentally this misconception about the difficulty of a transition from residential to commercial probably comes from a lack of knowledge and therefore proper understanding. And again, that's where your consulting team also comes in. As I said, look, you can get right up to speed and learn all you need to know about commercial property. And to a degree, I think you should, as I said, to have a fundamentally solid understanding of the commercial property sector and how it works and what have you. But you don't have to know the intimate day-to-day aspects of it, like the latest legislation and construction costs and rates per square meter and all that sort of thing. That's where your consultants come in, because they do it day in, day out. They're right up to speed, and you can get that information from them very quickly. And they also provide an extension to you, because if you're going to become a serious investor, you don't want to be consumed with the mundane day-to-day things. You need to understand what has to happen, but you don't want to be consumed and distracted by them. And equally, if you're doing it on a part-time basis, you've got a full-time job. You want to know that the proper attention is being given to your commercial property investments. And if you engage a consultant, that's their job. If they stuff up, you can sue them. That's what they've got professional indemnity insurance for, so that you know that you have the right people looking after, helping to choose, analyse and look after your commercial property. And some of the most successful clients I've had have been those with a little or no prior involvement with commercial property. And that's because they don't bring any baggage to the table. You know, they're not trying to pontificate or talk about past successes and things like that. They're very clear thinkers. They can quickly absorb and assess the information and advice that you're giving them. And they ask very cogent, probing questions to extract from me and any of the other consultants the essence, the key information that they need for them to make a commercial decision. And that's all commercial property is understanding the ingredients, the facts, the figures, and taking the advice and then making a decision as you would a normal business decision. Because there are many areas in your business where you embark on a new venture, you have to call in consultants. You have to get advice, and based on that advice, you make a decision and move forward. And commercial property is no different. So the transition is not a hard one. It's a learning curve, but many of the skills you'll learn in analysing and understanding commercial property, particularly some of the negotiating skills, you will find you will use not only in your personal life, but in your full-time business life as well. So, as I said, it's certainly a misconception. I understand how it arises, but as I said, that principally comes through a lack of knowledge.
I guess many people imagine commercial tenants are harder to deal with.
Yeah, look, I can certainly understand not knowing and having dealt with commercial tenants in the past. You might think this, but you've got to understand commercial tenants are running a business from their property, and therefore they have a vested interest in looking after it and keeping it presentable. Now, the lease will require them to pay the outgoings and maintain it. It's not just a legal compliance. They have visitors and prospects going to their premises, and therefore they want to make sure it's kept in tip-top condition, because they have this corporate image that they're presenting to their clients, and therefore their self-interest becomes your self-interest as well. You have a common interest for different reasons, but as I said, the lease also requires them to undertake and pay for any maintenance. And furthermore, the lease requires, unlike residential, that when the time comes for them to leave, there is also what's called a make-good clause, where they have to reinstate the premises to where it was beforehand. Now, yes, they have security bonds, and generally instead of a month like residential, it's for the short-term leases, it's probably 3 months. As the lease gets closer to 5 years, it's probably 6 months. If it's a longer lease, you might have 12-month rent guarantee. Now, tenant, as I said, has the requirement to make the premises good. So it's not just a matter of removing stains from carpets. If they've installed partitioning and any other works at the outset of their tenancy, they have to, the lease requires them to remove all that, reinstate the premises, which if they damage the carpet, replace the carpet. If they damage the walls, patch and repaint the walls. If the ceilings are damaged, likewise, replace the ceiling tiles. So there is a full reinstatement. Now, that's a legal requirement. Now, if the tenant, for whatever, leaves early or breaks their lease, if you've got a rent guarantee, let's say it's a 3 to 6 month rent guarantee, you are able to cover the costs of finding a new tenant. Now, you must take every step to do so, and that's called mitigating your loss. But because you have a larger security deposit or rent guarantee, you can cover any outstanding rent, cover any letting fees, cover any, if you've got to give someone a month rent free to come into the premises, all of that comes out of that security deposit, that bond. And as I said, yes, they have to make good, but more often than not, what happens is that you get a price to make good and you say to the tenant, look, you make the premises good and this is the cost it's going to be, or more often than not, they will negotiate a figure to walk away. And the reason that can be useful is that even though the incoming tenant that's replacing them may, the partitioning that's there may not exactly suit them, it's a lot cheaper to modify partitioning than it is to actually install and create a new office layout from the beginning. Now, so the partitioning does have value, plus when it's left to you, you can then depreciate that partitioning, whereas it belonged to the tenant. And you have a lump sum that they've paid you in lieu of making good, which you can assist the incoming tenant to make modifications. So in actual fact, commercial tenants are a lot easier. It's a business transaction, and most people don't understand this. It's much more straightforward and clean-cut, and there's very strict laws that govern the use by tenants of commercial property.
What about the process and cost of managing commercial property?
Well, it's actually not more difficult to manage commercial property. You see, if you choose to manage the property yourself, yes, you might run into some costly problems because there are certain statutory requirements that you have to meet as far as occupational health and safety and essential services legislation. But that's the very reason why you engage a competent managing agent. And unlike residential property, where you have management fees of around 7%, your fees for commercial property management generally range from 3 to 5% of the monies collected, depending on the size of the property involved. Obviously, if it's a smaller one, it'll be at the higher end of the range. If it's a larger property, when I'm saying larger, probably $1 million worth or more, it'll be around the 3% mark. But it's not that difficult when you have a managing agent involved, because if it's not a retail tenant, many of the leases today have a provision in the lease that the tenant must pick up the reasonable cost of managing the property, which can be the managing agent's fee. And so in actual fact, the cost to engage the managing agent doesn't necessarily have to come out of your pocket. And that's one of the advantages of commercial property. You don't have that with residential. You're not allowed to pass that on. So provided you choose your managing agent wisely, and with my clients, I certainly provide them with advice, and I also keep a watching brief on the way through the period of their ownership so that the managing agent doesn't have to necessarily bother you as the investor with every little item, or if a major item comes up, they'll discuss it with me first, formulate a joint recommendation to you. So again, you can just make a commercial decision, weighing up the options as to which way you want to go forward. So no, it doesn't mean commercial property is harder to manage at all.
Well, that's certainly helped to put a few misconceptions to rest. And from what you explained, commercial property is not really all that complicated.
No, not really. You simply need to treat it like any other business deal and do your homework first. Besides, if you're receiving net yields of 7% plus, the rewards are certainly worthwhile.
That makes a lot of sense. And thank you for removing some of the mystery.
Well, I'm glad you felt it was helpful.